Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chicago's afternoon news. Thank you for listening to 720 WGN. We're getting a lot of text messages from teachers who were listening early when Bert Oldelson was on the air, and one of them said, it seems like everyone, including the mayor, is quick to volunteer the teachers to go into crowded hallways and classrooms and risk COVID infections for themselves and their families. When was the last time the mayor of these mayor or these others spent their day amongst hundreds of people, many of them which are ignoring COVID safety protocol? That's just one of the text messages coming in. And Steve, you don't have any details yet on anything that's happening with negotiations, do
well,
you?
Not especially, but they're talking about trying to resume some sort of education tomorrow, but it looks like it could be school. We don't know the results of the talks yet, but even with no resolution, the CPS is hoping to have some school buildings open, but it will be open by school, depending on the number of personnel available there to serve the students.
It seems really tone deaf. You know, when parents need a little more information from the school district, that you just can't at 10 o'clock at night when your kids are in bed decide that you've got to find somebody to watch them tomorrow. I can't imagine how tough it is to have one kid or more than one kid in Chicago public schools right now.
Yeah, but if they were just to say today, okay, we're not going to have class tomorrow, that takes any pressure off the negotiating table as well. So that's tough to do.
Lou Manfredini is on. How are you, Lou?
I'm well. Good afternoon.
It's kind of crazy. You're following David Hochberg, just like you do on Saturdays. No, you're on before.
Me.
That's right. He gets up late. So we're hearing from people because of the cold weather. Pipes are bursting, not as much in the city as they are in the burbs. And we thought we would get you on 720 WGN to address that. And Is there really anything you can do? Because it's kind of hard to predict, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think that for, the vast majority of us, if we have a home that's been problematic in the past, what you want to pay attention to is any bathroom or fixtures or pipes that you have on the outside wall of your home. And those are areas, a lot of older homes, it can be a real problem. And so if you've had issues in the past where, oh, wow, the water doesn't flow, it's a good idea when the temperatures get below, I would say, sort of the 20-degree mark, and that does not take into account any wind chill factor, but you really do want to open up the cabinets, if there are cabinets by those sinks, to allow the heat from the space in the room to enter there, as well as providing a little bit of a trickle, both in the hot and the cold. A lot of times, Lisa, people just turn the cold on, but those are two separate pipes, right, that come into those fixtures, and so the hot water can, even though you think it's hot, it's not hot in those pipes. It's hot in the water heater. And a little bit of a trickle will make, you're going to waste a little bit of water. I tell people, if you can, put a bucket underneath there and use it to water the plants later on, or use the water to give it to the dogs, whatever it might be. Can't use all of it probably, but you can use some of it. And it's going to be way cheaper than frozen pipes.
Yeah, frozen pipes are really a problem. I've gone through that, and my experience was, I let the trinkle go. Listening to you, I realized I made a mistake because I just had the cold on.
Right.
And then realized that the water was no longer coming through. When I woke up, I called the plumber. They got out there, and while they were working on it, the pipe burst. They had put heaters on these pipes, but apparently, what is there, like a big ice chunk in there? And then,
well, right, and that's problematic too, is that now it's frozen, and what a lot of people do is they run for a torch or maybe some heat gun, and if you heat the pipe up too quickly, then you can get a burst because the pressure increases. There's an ice wedge typically in the pipe, and that can be a problem. So if the pipes freeze, you really need to warm them up slowly. And my advice has always been, if it's an area where, wow, this is the spot, don't put any heat on it. Take a box fan and, assuming that the room that these pipes are frozen in is above 50 degrees, let's get some airflow on there. It will take hours, but it'll avoid the pipes from bursting, and it will eventually free the clog.
Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It, is on with us. If you want to get a phone call in real quick, maybe he'll hang with us for a couple minutes. Thank you for checking in with Chicago's Afternoon News. And thank you for reaching out at 312-981-7200. Another text from 708. Governor working at home. DMVs closed for 2 weeks, probably being paid. Congress working remotely. Social Security offices are still not open. But teachers are the government workers scorned for fear, working amongst hundreds of children whose families probably are not masking or vaccinated. And many of them will have to use their own sick days if they get sick or have to quarantine. This is still all residual from talking about that with labor attorney Bert Odelson. We're moving on. Of course, we'll still take your calls and your texts because Mr. Fix-It Lou Manfredini is on the phone. And Lou, somebody called, and it's Tom. And Tom, go ahead and ask Lou your question. It has something to do about the frozen pipes we were talking about, right?
Yeah. Hi, Lou. Hey, Lou, about you're right about the cost of frozen pipes because I busted a pipe, the Silcock, going out the back of the house about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Thank God for insurance, but my house wasn't put back together for 4 months. It was just a nightmare. But the thing is, it was a 60-cent piece. The nipple blew off the riser, and we had water coming out for about 2 hours till anybody noticed.
Right.
But
right.
What
yeah,
I did
I've
was, got... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, so, you know, the came and they plastered everything back together, drywall back to the wall. But when they were done, I cut a hole in that wall and put a vent in there, a fake vent. Just got a vent from a big box store. And now the heat from the home goes into that spot. Right. Prior to closing up the wall, too, I insulated the pipes as good as I could. But
right. Yeah, that's...
I have a Raytec gun to check for heat, and I check it throughout the winter. And that's like, you know, my house is set at 68. It's 53 degrees inside that wall going out. It's a common wall with my neighbor. I live in a townhouse. Mm-hmm. And I just had to brainstorm one day. I thought, why won't this work? Put it in. It's been fine ever since we blew that pipe.
So that's a good option, isn't it?
It's a great option, and it absolutely, you know, will help to mitigate the problem from happening. I mean, I have to tell you, you know, the last few days I've been taking the dogs out for a walk early in the morning, and I am amazed at how many people still have their garden hoses connected to their water spigots on the outside. And I have to tell you, the risk there in leaving that there, even if you have what's called a frost-proof hose bib, what's going to happen is the ice is going to travel up through the hose, and it's going to go into the pipe that's in the wall. You won't know it's leaking until spring comes and you turn the water on. And what's going to happen is you're going to plug in the hose, you're going to put the garden, you know, you're going to put the sprinkler out, and you're going to be like, all right, let's go for ice cream. And you're going to come back an hour later, and you're going to have a flood and a bunch of damage. So if you're listening,
when you walk by those houses, you should just unscrew them for them.
Well, I thought about that, Steve, and I thought, you know, then they're going to, you know, as they're putting me in the back of the squad car, I'm just trying to help. I'm just trying to be a Mr. Fix-It.
Everything you talk about has happened to me. Everything.
Oh,
Lou Manfredini. I was a single mom and had a house, and I did take the hose off, but I don't know how it happened. Come spring, same thing.
Yeah,
go to put the hose on, turn it on, pipe bursts, and yeah, you got a big mess.
And, you know, if we get, you know, we had the polar vortex, you know, a few years ago, and your house is going to do a bunch of different things. And so where you can eliminate drafts, I'll tell you what, the biggest single thing you can do to eliminate drafts in your windows is go lock them. I guarantee you on the second floor, you have windows that are unlocked. And if you lock them, you will increase the energy efficiency of that window by 70%.
Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It, is on Chicago's Afternoon News. Talk to me about humidity. I feel like everybody is walking around, our throats are dry, our noses are dry. How can we maintain that if you are in a house that doesn't have April air?
Yeah, well, I am a big fan of whole house humidifiers. So if that's a possibility, you know, the thing is when the temperatures drop, you do need to adjust it, and you want to be somewhere anywhere between 25 to 30%. Anything more than that, you may notice that you get water beating on the inside of the glass. That's not good. Your windows are doing what they're supposed to do, but you don't want to cause a mildew and mold issue and potentially a rot issue. You can buy whole room humidifiers, these ultrasonic types. There's many different kinds out there. They're very effective. The biggest hassle with them is that they typically run for about 12 hours or so, and you have to refill them, and you just have to stay after them. But adding humidity will keep you more comfortable. It'll actually help lower your energy bill because a home that's being heated that has proper humidity, the furnace will run less. And so with, you know, the talk about how much utility bills have gone up so much, that added very energy efficient room humidifier will make a difference in your overall comfort.
Were you listening to John Williams today, too, when he was going down the prices that people are paying Nicor for heat?
I didn't. I heard him talking about that, but I missed the conversation. But I know, you know, we own a couple of businesses, and we have a Nicor and a People's Gas. We have in two different service providers, and it's up like 35%.
Yeah.
And those are businesses, and so, you know, they're big spaces, and so the numbers are big.
We just got a text said from 815, we got frozen pipes on our fire truck last night. And then they put five money symbols up there. Also
wow.
From, yeah, can you imagine? Also from 815, can you ask Lou what to use to stop locks on the outside doors from freezing, WD-40 or Superzilla?
I would use the Superzilla. That is a lightweight oil that I talk quite a bit about. It's bio-based, and so it is, it's non-flammable, and it's the perfect lubrication to use in locks. You can use it on the car locks. You can use it on padlocks. Anything that you need to operate in the winter, you can even put it out there now in the freezing cold, and it will free it up.
And Lauren has a question. Hey, Lauren, thank you for listening this afternoon. What did you want to know about heated floors?
I was wondering what Lou thought about them. We had an opportunity to put a heated floor in our family room that's on a slab, and we couldn't afford it at the time, and I'm really regretting it because it's always cold in there. I don't know if it's cost-efficient or is that something you would recommend ever?
It is the most awesome thing to do in your life. Of all the things you could do, you know, have a New Year's resolution to not go to Starbucks for the year, and then you can afford it. I don't know if you drink Starbucks, but I have to tell you that when I was a home builder, and even in my own home now, I have heated floors in our master bathroom, and the houses that I used to build, we used to put that in as a standard thing, and it is the greatest thing ever. Super efficient, depending on what you're going to use. I mean, there are electric mats that you can use for bathrooms, but in larger areas like a living room or a family room, these are water systems typically, and they're panelized that can go down, and you can put luxury vinyl over the top. You can even put wood. You can put carpeting. You can put tile. It is the most luxurious thing you could ever do, and it's awesome in the winter.
So how much are you
Would I have to take out my tile? Oops.
Oh, no, you
yes.
go ahead.
Yeah, you'd have to go down to the subfloor and then put in a new floor. It goes on over the subfloor. But I'm telling you, it's not only awesome as far as the comfort level, but it will be something that when you go to sell the house will be an added value proposition.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for listening, Lauren. And Lou, what are you talking about? Like, are you talking it's $1,200 to do that, or?
If you were going to do a bathroom, like a master bath with an electric pad, you'd probably spend in a larger master bath for the pads and the install and everything. It'd probably be about $1,500 for that.
Okay.
But it is awesome. I actually have ours set up on a timer, not a thermostat. So at 4 a.m, it kicks on. When I walk in at, you know, roughly 6, it's toasty warm.
We had it on a mudroom years and years ago, and it has no foundation under it or anything like that, and put that in the flooring because there's no heating in that mudroom.
Right, I remember.
And
we
that takes
about
care
this.
Of it, yeah.
That. And it's awesome, right?
Oh, my God. So the best thing is to step on the floor and yeah. then step on the floor in the closet where the heater isn't. It's, you know, 30 degrees different.
Mom, how come Dad's curled up on the floor?
Again.
Fine. Again.
And a quick question from Steve. Steve, we've just got about 30 seconds. What's your question for Lou Manfredini?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I live in Tinley Park, and I have a Hartzell tri-level. And the big issue that I have is in regards to the humidity issues, and you just got done talking about a room humidifier. Where should I put this in regards to getting humidity throughout my house?
If you don't have a whole house humidifier in a tri-level like that that you're speaking of, you probably need more than one. So you're going to want one on every floor to accommodate something around, you know, 600-700 square feet each. And those will do the work. And if you have forced air, have it near one of the vents to help move it around. And the other big thing I can tell people, too, when it gets really cold, turn the ceiling fans on in reverse on low and let them run 24/7. I promise you, you will be more comfortable in your home.
Thank you so much, Lou. It's always a treasure to have you on, and we'll be listening Saturday morning because I'm sure a lot of these same questions will come through.
Thank you. Have a nice rest of your day.